Matthew chapter 5, we want to look at just three verses tonight. Again, it's verses 14 through 16, and it's a very familiar passage, a passage which many of us have probably read and maybe memorized parts of it. We know most of it, and maybe you've heard different messages preached from it. But again, I pray that tonight this message would be a help and a challenge to you here tonight. So again, Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 14, where the Bible says that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I want to speak to you tonight about letting your light so shine. Letting your light so shine. Let's pray as we get ready to enter into this message. Father, I come to your prayer, and again, Lord, I do ask you to be with me. And again, I don't know if I'll ever get over being the nervousness of standing up and preaching your word, Lord. It's such an honor, but Lord, I just pray that you would be with me. That pray that you would again just use me as your mouthpiece here tonight, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just help me to say what you'd have me to say, and pray that you would just use this message to edify and to challenge and to convict, Lord, where we need to be edified, challenged, and convicted in our lives, Lord. And so, Lord, just pray again that you would just be with this message now at this time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, my wife, I found out she was singing tonight, and she told me what they were singing, and I said, well, let's go with my message. I'm preaching about, you know, letting your light so shine. You need to be singing, you know, this little light of mine. And she said, well, maybe we'll surprise you. And they came up, and they didn't sing it. They didn't sing this little light is mine. So, church body, we're going to do that, all right? So, we're going to be preaching about, we're going to talk about this light of mine, about letting your light so shine. So, to help me maybe to get a little over my nervousness a little bit, I'm going to need you to help me, and we're going to all get our lights out, all right? We're in junior church, all right? And we're going to sing a favorite little children's song called This Little Light Is Mine. And I need you to drown me out because, again, as Pastor said, you know, I'm mic'd up and you're not. So sing louder so I don't have to hear myself. Ready? Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What is it? We don't let who? Satan do what? Blow it out. All right, here we go. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Hang on. For my daughter, it goes, don't let Satan it out. All right, so got to get into it. Ready? Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And then we don't let it do what? Hide under a bushel. That's right. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. Thank you. I feel a little bit better in myself. Everybody made a fool of themselves, and so I feel better now up here. All right, but think about that. Letting your light shine. Listen, do you know that the reason that you and I are here tonight is because that light shined into our lives? The light of Jesus Christ shined into our lives, and that's the reason why we're here tonight. That's the reason why we are saved. And, you know, I think of John chapter 1 where they're in John 1 where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus, again, is that light. And John said of himself, he said, you know, I'm not that light. As he goes on, he says, but I am sent to bear witness of that light. And so, again, I say, if you're here today, you're saved. Again, you did not find salvation on your own. You didn't find that joy. You didn't find contentment on your own. But there in the deepest, darkest alleys of your life, down when you were in the depths of sin, on your way to hell, Jesus, the light, came and shined in your life. And in our passage, we see that Jesus says that ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. In other words, hey, what I have done for you, it's now your turn to go out and do for them. What I did for you, it's now your turn to go out and do for the world. And so it's time that, you know, some of us, that we went down to the darkest alleys of people's lives and we shined the light of Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. This world needs some light, people. Our world desperately needs some light. And so as I look at this and I thought about, you know, the absence of light is obviously darkness. And we live in a very dark day. And so that in itself is, number one, the cause. Why do we need to be a light? Well, first of all, again, the cause. We live in a dark day. Do you understand that the world that we live in here in 2015 is simply getting crazier and crazier? I mean, you think about the evil that's just rampant in our society. You know, think about the ISIS and the terrorism. We think about those who are running around and shooting the police officers and cops, those who have given their lives to serve and protect us, and people are just running around shooting them and killing them. And you know, I think about our government not long ago legalizing gay marriage. You know, when Pastor Blake spoke last Sunday morning, he talked about this school, this high school in San Francisco, who was offering this gay history class in a public high school. He mentioned how different colleges are offering classes in pornography. And you hear things like that and you just realize, man, we live in a dark day. Our world is getting crazier and crazier. Again, what was about a month ago, we see when, you know, this dentist shoots this lion, Cecil. And people are so upset that Cecil the lion has been killed, but yet we don't care when unborn babies are murdered every day. Here's some statistics. Every year, think about this, 1,058 million babies are aborted in America. America. That is 120 every hour, and that's one for every 30 seconds. One for every 30 seconds. The average is how often a baby is aborted. And again, you turn your TVs on, and it's nothing but darkness. The internet, it's darkness. You go to a public school, maybe, darkness. A public workplace, it's darkness. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love darkness. Studies show that around 3 out of every 4 high school seniors will graduate without their virginity. And that's a problem. In America, you have to have parental consent to get an aspirin. But yet, if you want to get if a young lady or somebody wants to get a contraceptive to keep themselves from getting pregnant, hey, they can just go and get it. It's sad. We live in a very dark day. Evil is rampant. And again, if you go to the mall or somewhere and you see these kids, they got these headphones on and they're pumping rock music and rap music into their system, which promotes immorality and rebellion. And again, they go home and they're talking to their moms as if their mom was their dog. There's no respect for authority anymore. Our boys no longer know how to act like boys, and our girls don't know how to act like girls anymore. Again, you walk around stores, whatever, and you see these kids, these young people, strung out on drugs and alcohol. And what am I saying? What I'm saying is we live in a very dark day. But we've been called to be the light. But when we think about that, we think about how bad this world's getting, and we almost want to just shelter ourselves in and just almost hide and try to avoid it. And you can almost begin to even question God and think, you know, God, why did you allow me? Why did you allow my children to be born into this generation? Well, I mean, what was God thinking when he allowed you to be set here in America when this day and age where rock music and rap music, the accessibility to pornography and all the vileness that this generation has at their fingertips? I mean, what was God thinking when He allowed all that mess to be on Facebook, the radio, and he allowed those teenage superstars to drown out the name of Jesus Christ with their foolishness, their immorality, their perverted talk. I mean, surely what was he thinking? Surely he wouldn't have known how bad this world would be in 2015, right? Surely he didn't know how bad it would be for you to go to a public high school or go to a public workplace. Surely God, he didn't know that you were going to have to go through all this here in 2015, right? I mean, if he did, surely he'd let you be born into a different generation where it'd be much easier to serve God and much easier to stand up for what's right. But can I tell you something? God foresaw 2015. God foresaw the wickedness of the world that we live in. But you know what? I am persuaded that, but I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh yeah, we may live in a wicked society. We live in a messed up world. We live in horrible times, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's no weapon formed against thee that shall prosper, the Bible says. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, you know what the Bible says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, wherewithal, the Bible says, shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. And therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Oh, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book will also not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Love not the world, neither things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of this world. Listen, our God, he saved us from this wicked world. But you know what? He saved us from this world. He didn't take us out of it, but he left us in it. Why? Because this world needs some light. This world needs to know that God still saves. This world needs to know that Jesus is real, that he died on the cross for them, that the devil is a liar, and that religion will send them to hell. But you know what? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I ask, like a little 17-year-old boy, shepherd boy, David, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? We live in a very dark day. And Jesus has called us to be a light. So we see the cause. But I want to notice, secondly, the call. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. First of all, I notice that this call, it's personal. Look at it again. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are. Ye are. Ye are. Ye are the light of the world, the Bible says. Again, Jesus didn't say that you should be. He didn't say that you could be. He didn't say that you have the option to be. He didn't say that, you know, if everything else fails, you might as well just try being this. But he said very distinctively, he said very definitely, that ye are the light of the world. It's a personal call. Well, I just don't like to be an upfront kind of person. I couldn't do what you're doing, Brother Alexander. No, you may not be able to do this, but hey, ye are the light of the world. Listen, you're it. You're it. For the neighbor of yours, you're it. Ye are. For that friend of yours, that lost friend, ye are. For the coworker, ye are. The lost family member, ye are. Ye are the light of the world. It's personal. Maybe we should stop saying ye are and point the finger at others and say, you know, I am. Hey, I'm the light of the world. I'll answer this call. I am. I'll be it. Will you? So we see it's personal. But I also want to notice its purpose. Think about the purpose of light. What does light do? It illuminates. It makes things clear. It exposes things. But look at our passage. Look at what Jesus says here. Ye are the light of the world. And he says this, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Listen, in other words, listen, light was never intended to be hid. Light was never intended to be secretive. Again, if you didn't want somebody, if you didn't want these people to be noticed, then Jesus would have, he should have picked something other than light because, hey, light stands out. Again, if we were to turn off all the lights in here, I have to close the doors because the light's coming in them too, but if we were to turn off all the lights, make it dark in here, you know what? It wouldn't take very much. Maybe just a watch with a little light on it and somebody's going to notice it. Why? Again, because light stands out in the midst of darkness. Light stands out in the midst of darkness. Again, it stands out. Well, Brother Alexander, again, I go to work and, you know, I do what I do. I'll sit there at my desk or whatever. And, you know, I don't like to speak up a lot. I don't want to intrude on someone's privacy. And I'm not an aggressive person, you know. And you know, I'm saved. You know, I do live for God. I do love Jesus, you know. But, you know, I guess, you know, if I was to admit it, I guess there probably aren't a lot of people that do know I'm a Christian. You know, I'm just one of those kind of people who I kind of keep to myself. I keep my religion to myself. Listen, you've got your task all mixed up because Jesus said that ye are the light of the world. God never intended for our religion to be in a closet. God never intended for your testimony to be silent. God never intended for you to be some secretive Christian or some undercover soul winner. But ye are the light of the world, he says. And if we would just simply go out there, we live in a dark age, we live in a dark world, if we would simply just go out there and live what he is in us and allow him to live through us, listen, somebody's going to notice it. Light is meant to stand out. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's impossible for a Christian to live, again, that Christian life and not to stand out. Light always stands out in the midst of darkness. Again, we're just saying, this little light of mine, help me really. But think about that. Hide it under a bushel? No. No. You don't light a candle. You don't hide it under a bushel. So listen, it's time that we stopped living the Christian life under a bushel. It's time that we came out and we let our light shine. Listen, how long do we have to be saved before we go out and start soul winning? How long do we have to be saved before we start witnessing to somebody at our workplace? How long do we have to come to church or be saved before we tell our friends about Jesus? It's time we stopped living underneath that bushel. Because we've been called to stand out. It's a purpose of light. But not only does light stand out, but let me give you this. Light also sets order. It sets order. This will apply a little bit more to maybe our married men. Well, not maybe, but it will. But again, married men, have you ever been laying in bed? Because this happened to me. And you're laying there in bed. You're getting ready to, fall asleep. You've closed your eyes. Man, you're just on the brink of just, being out. And all of a sudden, your wife rolls over. All sweet, kind of sweetie, honey, baby, poochie, whatever she calls you. And did we lock the door tonight? Could you just please get up and just check? Just make sure the front door's locked because I just can't sleep. In your mind, you're probably thinking, I know I locked it, but if she can't sleep, you're not sleeping, so what do? You get up and you go check the door. But out of respect for your wife, rather than turning the light on, because now she's going to get upset. What are you doing turning the light on? No, you don't do that. You leave the light off out of respect for your wife. Now you're walking through a dark house to go check the front door. And again, as you're walking, trying to work your way through the darkness of your house, your house, you do pretty good, but inevitably, I've learned that word this morning, and what do you do? Ah, man, you stump your toe on something. You step on a kid's toy, you stump your toe, you ran into the nightstand, something, and now, oh man, you're hobbling across the living room and you bump into it, maybe the end table there, you knock over a water glass and you've made a mess in the living room and you've hurt yourself and you get to the front door and it's locked. Sure enough, it's locked. You clean it all up, whatever, you get back to bed, and hey, now she can rest peacefully. She falls asleep, but what about you? Man, your foot's throbbing for the next hour. You're laying in bed thinking, I knew I locked that stupid door, and you're so frustrated. And again, why is that? Well, there was no light, but have you ever noticed that when the light is on, you don't stub your toe as much? When the light is on, you don't knock things over as much? When the light's on, listen, you don't worry about these things as much. Why? Because light sets order. But we live in a society today that's screaming, turn the light off. Turn the light off. I don't want it on. Turn the light off. I want to drink my beer. I want to smoke my cigarettes. I want to shack up with my girlfriend. I want to do this. Turn the light off. And they don't want it. Again, they don't want the light on, but the truth of the matter is once the light gets on, they'll begin to get some things in order. Again, men may not like it, but when it shines in their life, it sets order. And so, they may not ask you for it, they may not want it, they may not thank you for it, but the truth of the matter is, again, there's not a man, woman, boy or girl, who will function better with the light off. Because light sets order. And so Jesus has called us to be the light of the world. And we see that it's personal, and we see its purpose. But I want to talk about its problem as well. Its problem. Now let me say this, I don't believe there's a problem with the call. I don't even believe that the problem itself is with our world that doesn't want the light on. The problem comes from those who have been called to be that light, the fact that they keep switching it off. Yeah, we'll come to church and we're flipping it on Sundays. We turn the light on Sunday, we come to church, we have our Bible underneath our arm and we're coming to church. I've got my light on, but then Monday comes. I go to school. I go to work and switch, turn it off. We turn it off. Again, maybe Wednesday, some of us will turn that light back on, but then back off. For a small few, we might turn it on Saturday even. But for the most part, what are we doing? We're switching that light off. We become what I like to call, what I'm calling switchers. Again, Monday comes, switcher off, switcher off. Tuesday, switcher off. Wednesday, I switch her off. Well, at least until, you know, 7 o'clock, right? Now I'm going to switch her on. But then I'm out the back doors, I'm going to switch right back off. And on Thursday, Friday, I'm going to switch her off for a small few again. I may switch her on for an hour or two, but hey, I'm going to switch her right back off after that. And we're constantly trying to switch her on and switch her off. You know, it's no wonder that the fastest growing religion is no religion at all. Because those who have been called to be the light are not doing their job. It's no wonder we have stagnant churches. We want them to come here to see the light, but we're not willing to go there and share the light. But he says that ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Again, we've become professional switchers, but Jesus has called us to be the light. Well, now if I start telling all my friends and if I start telling my coworkers and all these people, my neighbors, and you know, if I start doing that, you know, they're going to think I'm some fanatic, you know, and they may not like me anymore. Let me say something. If men love darkness rather than light, and ye are called to be light, then guess what? They're not going to like you. They love darkness, but ye've been called to be light. But here's the thing. We were not saved to be light. We were saved to be light. We were not saved to be light. We were saved to be light. But most Christians, what are we doing? We're striving to be light. Oh, yeah, we don't want anybody to reject us. No, we love that embrace. We love to be accepted. We want to fit in. But that's the problem. Listen, turn your light on. It's time that we turn the light on and that we decided that we're going to leave it on rather than switching it on and off all the time. So Jesus has given us a call. Ye are the light of the world. But then I go down to verse 16 and I see a very specific challenge. The challenge. So we've seen, again, ye are the light. Okay, I got it. I'm the light. We saw again from the purpose, you know, I'm meant to stand out. I'm meant to set order because that's what light does. But, you know, what next, Jesus? What do I do next? Well, he says, let your light so shine. So do it. Go and do it now. Let your light so shine. You see, you're not... Jesus didn't ask us to create the light. Jesus didn't ask us to manufacture the light. He didn't ask us to produce the light or to maintain the light. But Jesus asked us to shine the light. Why is that? Because he's the light. He is the light. And all we have to do is shine the light. Let your light so shine, he says. So I ask you, are you shining? Hey, Christian, are you shining tonight? As you go out, again, the rest of this week, do you shine? How about this? Are you so shining? How many of you understand that just because there's a light bulb in there, it doesn't mean it's going to be the brightest? Why is it that some people shine brighter than others? I think of a brother... Jerry Dye. Why is it that he shines so much brighter than so many of us so often? Well, maybe it's because his wattage is a little bit higher. How's your wattage? Well, how many watts do you have? Well, how do I up my wattage then, Brother Alexander? Well, let me say this. You want to up your wattage? You want to have a life that will so shine? Then first, you must have a personal walk. A personal walk. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness of it at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. Walking in the light. It's a personal walk. You see, again, if the light of Jesus is going to shine in and through my life, then I, again, must be walking with him personally. And so do you. We've got to have a personal walk. Oh, I'm glad you're here at church tonight. I'm glad that Again, I'm glad to see that you're here, but you know what? If your life is going to so shine, then you're going to have to walk with Him more than just at church. It's a personal walk. The psalmist said this, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." It was personal. I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. How about you? How's your walk? What did you read this morning? Where are you at in your Bible reading? When's the last time you heard Jesus speak to you personally as you walked with Him? Because if you want to have a light that will so shine, then you must have a personal walk. But not only a personal walk, but notice secondly, the public works. Look at our verse here. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." So here's public works. Now let me say this. Public works will never work if they're not first sustained through a personal walk with Christ. Never try to be in public what you're not in private. But again, if our light is going to shine, if we're going to be a so shining Christian, then what I receive through my personal walk, what I receive through my public worship, that being church, then I'm going to have to act upon that. It's going to drive me to do something, and it drives us to public works. Now again, we understand that these works do not save us. Again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we understand, you know, we're not saved by these works. And you know, many of us have memorized these two verses, but have you ever read the next verse? Ephesians 2:10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, listen, when I got saved, there was a change that took place, and now I've been set apart and designed to do good works. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." You see, if I am in Christ, and if Christ is in me, then the works of Christ ought to be lived through me. And when you read about Christ, Acts 10:38, speaking of Him, He went about doing good. He went about doing good. He gave us an example of good works. And if our lights are going to so shine, then we too ought to be going about and doing good. As Brother Blake spoke about this morning, never underestimate the power of doing good. Don't just rely on that, but if you want your light to so shine, then that's going to be a part of it, the good works. But I want to close with this. If you look here in our passage, the consequence. The consequence. What happens when I let my light so shine? Oh, it's good. Look at this. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," and listen to this, "and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And glorify your Father which is in heaven. The word glorify here means to render or to esteem glorious, to honor, to magnify. So what's the consequence? Hey, lives are changed. What's the consequence when I allow my light to so shine? Families get restored and souls are saved. Those who were blind, they now can see. They were lame, now they're walking with God. They were mute, now they're professing God. Once, you know, they took the Lord's name in vain, and now they're lifting it high and up. It's mighty. They're honoring Him. They're magnifying Him. Those who were addicted to drugs and alcohol, they're now addicted to Christ. Because you let your light so shine. Again, do you understand what I'm saying? When we let our light so shine, Those who were once in darkness, those again who were on their way to a very Christless hell, they get to see a wonderful, glorious light of Jesus Christ through our lives, and they get saved. Born again and set free. God is glorified. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I've decided that I want my light to shine. See if I can get my light to shine. I've decided I want my light to shine. Now, here's the thing. For sure, can I get you to help me real quick? You stay there. Light, again, isn't very bright in light. But could you go and help me, for the sake of illustration, turn all the lights off? Could y'all help me with this? Do y'all know where all the lights are up here? And click all the lights off there on the stage? And maybe we'll close the back doors as well. We're going to try to get it as dark as we can in here. So the lights, Brother Josiah, are the three power strips right there. Just go ahead and start clicking those off. When it's light, it doesn't shine so bright. But we don't live in a world full of light. We live in a very dark world. And here's a great truth I once learned. The darker the night, the brighter the light. The darker the night, the brighter the light comes. Listen, we've got a great opportunity. Listen, it's not time to hunker down. It's not time to just wait for the Lord's return. But it's time that we decided to do something. It's time that we decided to let our light so shine. We've got a great opportunity. Souls can be saved. I saw a young lady yesterday named Trinity, 14-year-old girl, out soul-winning with Alex. Mom just passed away in June. Oh, she was ready. She prayed and got saved. Are you ready to let your light so shine? I pray you are. Father, I come to you in prayer, and I ask you, Father, to help us today to decide that we will be a people that will let our light so shine. Father, we do live in a dark world, but we've seen the promise from your word. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Father, I pray that you would give us just your Holy Spirit, give us your boldness, your power. Help us to leave here tonight and decide, you know what, I'm no longer going to switch that light off. When I go to school, no, I'm going to let my light so shine. When I go to work, I'm going to let my light so shine. Lord, I'm not going to switch it on and off, but Lord, I want to be that light.